In this broadcast from 6 years ago, you will hear my dad, Pastor Salem, celebrating 40 years of God's faithfulness and blessings to the Christian Worship Hour on television. And here we are today, thankful for 46 years of Dad proclaiming the good news of the gospel to those who are lost and providing hope and encouragement to Christians around the world. With your prayers and financial support, we are grateful to continue to broadcast CWH and my dad's timeless sermons. We appreciate your correspondence over the years. It encourages us and strengthens our hearts. This note from Manitoba, Canada came to us recently, which reads, "I am so glad that you keep Pastor Salem's sermons on the air. They are inspirational and have kept me coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ." Dad's message today, Faith in the Future, speaks to how God has been faithful to us as we trust in Him for guidance to broadcast the glorious gospel around the world. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a special day, a really special day, because we're celebrating our 40th anniversary of the Christian Worship Hour on the air, on the television. And so we're going to have a special sermon just thinking about the faith and the future and all the blessings of God. So call your friends and let them know. And as a matter of fact, that's why I got this boutonniere. I know some of you thinking, oh boy, he must have gotten married. He got a boutonniere. He got married and didn't tell us. 97 years and 97 and a half years old and getting married. I guess maybe not. Anyway, it's for the celebration. And it's a wonderful celebration. And you made it possible by your prayers and your support. So tell your friends, we'll have a great time together in our service today. We're looking at Psalm 51, where the psalmist said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." And this is the Psalm of David. And he's telling about the saving grace of his wonderful God. And oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that on our anniversary, we can say we've always preached the word of God. We've always told that wonderful way to be washed clean of their sins in the blood of the Christ because they opened their heart to the Savior. And we're praying today, many will pray that prayer, have you come into their heart and save them from their sins and give them everlasting life. So this is your service, Lord. Thank you for bringing us all this way. Thank you for what you're going to do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. And Barb has a wonderful song to go along with this, Someone to Care. And God bless you, Barb.
When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When you've tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Disappointments come and you feel is someone who cares for you. When you need a friend till the end, there is someone who's a friend to you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you.
Well, thank you, Barb. And that's the gospel. He cares for you. Maybe you're somebody and you're living someplace and nobody knows you, and maybe you live in a place where you have not many people. Maybe you're in a city and there's millions of people and you're just one of so many people, and you say, nobody knows me. I'm a nobody. Not even God can care for me. But the gospel is that Jesus loves you. God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. And when he was on the cross, he had you in mind. You are important. Maybe not in the world's goods and things of the world, but the Lord Jesus loves you. God loves you. And someone who cares, you bet someone cares. And he wants you to come to him. And he wants you to ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. And that brings me to this point. I get letters once in a while, and they'll say, well, why do you give the invitation so many times? You know, sometimes I might give it right after the first song. I don't know. I just give it when I feel that I just have to give it to several times in a service. And they say, well, wouldn't you give it at the end of the service? Sure. But I give it other times too. And you say, well, why do you do that so much? Well, I'm going to tell you why I do that so much. I wanted you to get that through your head, what you need to do. You need to make that prayer. Jesus said you have to be born again. And you're born again when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. And you just have to pray and just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. In your own words, I'm a lost sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take them away. And I'll serve you. I'll turn from my sins and I'll serve you best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And so I give that because now I just gave that. And somebody said, oh, I ought to do that, but I'll do it later. So you put it off. So we call it repetition. And we say it over and over and over and over. And we get it through the people's minds and hearts that there it is. For instance, I was in high school in 1936. Can you believe that? 1936. And that's 82 years ago. And there was a product they were selling, and they were just giving certain words about it, and then you're to guess what it is. And the words they gave was MS MFT, LS MFT, over and over, LS MFT. And all we had was radio, didn't have television. So night and day, we kept hearing that, LSMFT. You know what it stands for? Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. 82 years ago, I heard that. And I heard it so much, it's just indelibly imprinted in my mind. That's what I want to do with this wonderful gospel. Because I thought to myself, well, look at here. The tobacco companies, they sell their product by repetition, over and over and over. So if they can sell their lousy product For Thad, why can't I sell the most glorious product in all the world, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's why I give that invitation over and over, because maybe you don't accept Jesus right away, but later on, maybe you're sick, maybe you're on hospice, maybe you have just a few times, and then you call the Lord back. And I just want to say in passing that in those days they said that smoking tobacco didn't hurt your health. That's what they taught us. Well, the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, Atlanta, Georgia, last year reports that worldwide tobacco use caused nearly 6 million deaths, including more than 480,000 deaths from secondhand smoke. So why do I give the invitation? I want you to get it into your mind so that you don't take it now. You take it sometime later on. Well, we got some nice letters. And before I get into the letters, I just want to say that we read every letter we get. Now, we can't read them all on, and some people don't want them. If you say don't read our letter, we'll never read it. But we read it because a lot of times people say, you know, I was thinking the same thing, but I just didn't know how to say it. And it answers some of your thoughts. So here's a letter. It's from Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And this says, one DVD, and that is, the Heart of a Shepherd. One DVD, it goes to a 92-year-old lady in a senior living building. She leads a weekly Bible study, ministers to the older people, and was a missionary in the Congo. She has been praying about ways to bring people to the Lord Jesus. Another we will send to the unsaved parents of a campus crusade worker. He travels the world showing the Jesus film. Please pray that his parents' hearts will be softened and they will bend the knee before it is too late. They have to have a live-in Christian caregiver from Africa from past year. God is so good. And I'm going to tell you about this film, The Heart of a Shepherd. We got a letter from a man who had been an unbeliever and had witnessed to him over and over and over. And then he got to see this film all by himself and all alone. And there's the invitation is given, you know, just what to say. And just in your own words, just say those words. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, take away your sins. And he accepted Jesus, took him as his Savior. And then one, the next day or two, we got a letter, and it was from a little boy and a little girl, 10 years old and 5 years old, and their grandmother showed them the film. And they both said they wanted to accept Jesus. And I know what you're saying right now. You're saying, 5 years old, they couldn't accept Jesus. Let me tell you a little secret. I have a daughter, Patty. She accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now. And she served the Lord all of her life. You know, if you can accept, if you can love your parents, you can love Jesus. Now, I was 10, slow for my grade. And I accepted Jesus. I made that same prayer. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll serve you. I'll turn from my sins. Thank you, Jesus. 87 years, he's been in my heart, and he's more wonderful and beautiful every day. Oh, if you don't have Jesus, I pray that during this service, you'll make that prayer. Let's see. Here's one that says Des Moines, Iowa. I hope this helps you help more people like me who needed help finding the light of life. I hope you understand what I mean. I've never felt the love of life until I truly let my sweet Jesus into my heart. Thank you for helping me find my way home again. Thank you, all my brothers and sisters of the Christian Worship Hour. I'll see you all in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And she says, sweet Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Sweeter as the years go by, Jesus becomes more beautiful, more loving, sweeter. He becomes so wonderful that you can't imagine living without him. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have Jesus, you're not really living at all. You're missing the greatest thing in the world is to have the companionship of the Lord. Well, let me see. Here's Rapid City, South Dakota. I just learned of all my family will be here for me for Christmas. I want to show them the film heart of a shepherd. I think a couple may have strayed from Jesus and would love to bring them back with the message in your DVD. And so there we're sending them this, if we send it on a free will offering basis, you get your pencil and paper ready, and I'll give you the address in just a minute. Here's one from Sarawak, Malaysia. By hearing these aged people who wrote to you, I feel jealous of them, but at the same time, my faith grown exceedingly. It is because thy ministries is God's anointed ministries. It reflects their intimate relationship with the Savior. I am spiritually blessed to have you as my preacher by shortwave radio. Please pray for me because I'm sinking in the mire of despair. And so here she is. She's come to the Lord. She knows the Lord. Now something's come upon her. The devil's attacked her, put her in hard places, and she's having despair. And just that, so I sent a answer. A lot of these letters, can't answer them all. God, wish I could, but here I answered this letter. And I told her about David. And David is in great despair. His own son had turned against him. And he writes, and he says in Psalm 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me all from all my fears. And that's what he'll do. If you can get your eyes on Jesus, forget about the world, forget about the waves, forget about the storms, forget about the future, forget about the past. Just get your eyes on Jesus, that beautiful Savior, and trust him. Don't look back. You never run a race looking back. You just look at Jesus and follow him and walk with him. And you can, I'm not saying you're never going to get down, because sometimes we do. We're human. Some people have more of a problem with that. But Jesus will take you out of that pit. The psalmist says, I fell into a miry pit, and he took me out and he established my going and put my feet on the rock, and I'm singing for Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. And I'm not saying that Jesus is going to take you out of all of your troubles and trials, because he doesn't. Look at the persecuted church and how they suffer for Jesus, but they sing and they rejoice and they give their lives for Jesus. That's what it's all about. It doesn't mean you're going to have a bed of roses, but it means we're going to have joy in the midst of the storm, perfect peace. A man painted a picture of perfect peace, and it was a huge spruce tree, huge heavy limbs, and there was a tempest blowing just like a horrible tempest. And then as you look close, you see a little bird on the limb by the trunk of that tree, and just as peaceful and contented as can be, safe in that great tree, safe in the arms of Jesus. Get to Jesus. You're going to have troubles and trials, Jesus has said, in this world. But he says, there's going to be tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He's greater than all. Oh, I love to preach. I love to have some wonderful gospel. It's just great. Let me give one more. And this is in Mandan, North Dakota. I always take notes and have whole notebooks of your sermons. I laugh, sigh, and find joy and inspiration in you and all your staff. Often you comfort me and help me with my concerns in family and all kinds of spiritual matters. Truth is your sword. And the presentation Sunday, so full of the invitation of Jesus, with love never condemning, reaches the heart. God has his hand on you and bless you for being this, this servant. And this talks about the heart of a shepherd. And it's all taking it all for the glory of God. So if you'd like to get this, we've sent it out, this film, sent it out on a free will offering basis. And then there's something else we put out. We put out a little Bible study. It's called The New Song, The New Song. And there's a little Bible study each each month. And for this month of January, it is how to serve God, ways we can serve God. And it'll be a blessing to you. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. 57-402. And if you want to send a gift, then I hope some of you will, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And God tells us in the Bible, he says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, they'll say, well, they must be all set. They don't need anything, or they let us know. Well, we never beg for money. We don't spend a lot of time trying to get money out of people. We just tell them what the facts are. The facts are we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so we get all of our income from God's people. There's no church, no denomination, no organization, no corporation, nothing like that supporting us. God's people. So what you need to do is say, dear Jesus, should I support this ministry? He'll say yes or no. He'll tell you. And if he says yes, well, then you say, how much? And he'll tell you what to do, and you do it, and we rejoice. And there's some magic you can work here. You can get the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send a gift over the internet, if you can imagine that. I was born and raised in the day we didn't even have television, and now we got internet. Good grief. And so you can send it, and we'll use it in American money to pay the way for the preaching of the gospel. So you write to us, and I want to give you the address one more time. This is for the shortwave people because they don't have a screen. Shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you pay. You give as God leads. And everything will be just fine. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people everywhere. Thank you for the support we receive through our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you, and thank you for your ministry of playing on that piano. Well, we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11 today, so if you have your Bibles, and I know that some of you get all dressed up and you have church and you worship together, and then I got a letter from one fellow and says, I sit in my pajamas and drink coffee and watch your service. That's fine, just stay awake. That's all we ask, but I don't know, sitting in a nice soft chair, I wonder about that because I preach for these churches for years and years, and they're just hard boards. And boy, some of these guys can sit down in 30 seconds' time, they can be asleep. It's just a miracle how it works. But anyway, they always wake up in time to get out, you know, the last hymn. They just kind of sense it, and they get up, and away they go, and we're all happy. Well, we're reading Hebrews chapter 11. And in our prayer, we are going to pray for the persecuted church in Libya. And this persecuted church, they worship with a shortwave. On the shortwave radio, the Christian Worship Hour is with an organization called Lorraine and the Beautiful Outfit. And they put that all over the world. And we can tell you that they're worshiping with us. And as we preach this wonderful gospel, God bless them. We can worship together, and someday we'll be in heaven together. Won't that be great? So are the Christians in Libya. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful passage on faith. And as we celebrate our 40th anniversary this Sunday, this week, Lord, we just thank you that by faith we've launched out. And by faith for 40 years we walked, trusted in you. And dear God, you never failed us a single time. And you've helped us so that we can reach the whole world, all over the world. We can send this wonderful, glorious message of the wonderful Savior. And so it is our prayer today that people everywhere will put their faith in you. Maybe there's some, Lord, and they feel like, oh, I've been so bad. God wouldn't have anything to do with me. But he hates our sin, but he loves our soul, and he wants you to come. And when he went to the cross, he had you in mind, and he paid for your sins on the old rugged cross. He shed his blood. He became a human sacrifice for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. And so you just come by faith, and that's what we proclaim on our wonderful service, Lord, this wonderful Savior. And so we pray for our dear brothers and sisters in Libya. And Lord, I know that some of them are suffering. Some have been put to death, Lord, loved ones. Sometimes some of them had their little churches burned down if they're fortunate enough to have a church. Some just meet in homes and some people in hiding places. But they always have their heart on you, and they will not turn their back on you, even if it costs them their lives. Thank you for these dear brothers and sisters. Someday they're going to wear the martyr's crown. We're going to see them in heaven. People that gave their life for you. Oh, they help us, Lord. They encourage us. So use this service today, Lord, to speak to hearts. Some maybe who've never accepted you. Some who drifted away. Some who are in despair. Some are lonely. Some are weary. Young people don't know which way to go. What are they going to do in life? Little children, Lord, that have their problems too. Just, this is your service, Lord, and by your spirits and your word, speak to them everywhere. And we'll be careful to give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Now Melissa's going to sing, No, Not One.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. Diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. That that He is not near us. No night so dark that His love can't cheer us. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was ever gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Well, God bless you, Melissa. And if that isn't true, if that's the gospel, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And, you know, He's a friend, and that no matter what our sin might be, He'll take us. You can read in the Bible of people that came to Jesus, and some of them have stayed with Jesus, and some accepted Him. Some left Him, walked away, but you never read of Jesus deserting anybody. And when we put our faith in Him and you say, well, I don't know, I don't have much faith, God has given everybody a measure of faith, and you can believe if you want to. And so don't say, well, I would believe, but that God didn't give me the faith. What kind of a God is that? He'll say, well, your only way to be saved is to believe in Jesus, but I won't give you faith. What are you talking about? And the Bible says He's dealt to every man a measure of faith. That faith is there if you want to, and it's all up to you. And when you take that wonderful Jesus, He'll walk with you. He'll never leave you. Sometimes, I know in my experience with the Lord, 87 years, sometimes, you know, He'll have to chasten me. And because He says He chastens every child that He receives. And He does that to make us more like Him and to bring us into His will. And so He deals with us. And when we sin against Him, He has to deal with us and spank us a little bit, bring us around. But it's always in love. And when he just holds us in His hand and He helps us. And this wonderful Jesus, someday we're going to see Him face to face. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see that wonderful Savior of men. And He's interested in you. He loves you so much He went to you and went to the cross and paid for your sins. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. You bet you can sing that. And He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything is changing, but He changes not. Like the hymn writer says, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And that's what we want you to do. Have Jesus. Take Jesus. You'll never be disappointed, ever, ever. But I want to talk about the Christian worship a little bit today. Our sermon is based on that because in January 21st, 1979, we preached our first sermon. We had one station, Aberdeen, South Dakota, KABY. And we're from the KABY studios right now. That's where these services originate. And so 40 years ago, we started out, and we started by faith. It cost a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of money. And we had an organization just organized, and our assets were about zero, was about what it was. But we had faith, and we trusted Him, and God, then He gave us another station. The second station was Pierce, South Dakota. Third station was Rapid City, South Dakota. And now we're all over the world, all over the world. Praise to God. And so we want to think about this. This is a special sermon because when we talk about this message, about the Christian Worship Hour, it's really been faith all the way. We still don't have any big organization. We are organized and we pay our debt. We pay our taxes just like that, everybody. and we are audited. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and that's a Christian organization. It's an international organization. We're a member of that, and they check our books, and do they ever check our books. It scares you to death when they walk in that door. But we take care of every penny we get and every penny we receive, and it's all on board and all above board. And what we're giving to the Lord, when you give to the Lord, we're giving all of it back. We just pay our expenses and we keep them at a minimum, and that's what carries us through. And so we just think about this wonderful faith. And I was thinking about Samuel, and Samuel spoke to the children of Israel. They had just had a great victory over the Philistines. The Philistines were always plaguing them, the children of Israel, and giving them trouble. And so they had a great victory, and they beat the Philistines. They weren't supposed to, but God helped the Israelites, and they won the battle. And the Bible says, Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto the Lord hath helped us." And that's the way we feel after 40 years. We join with Samuel in saying the same thing. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I want to draw three lessons from this declaration. "Hitherto the Lord hath helped us." The first thing is we give God the glory for every victory won. That's what Samuel did. He was careful to be sure that they knew that they hadn't won the battle by their hand, but it was God watching over them and helping them that gave them the victory. So the glory all goes to God. And we have to be careful as we look back over the years. We can't imagine that now we got the gospel to 95% of the world's population. And in television, well, I don't know, several billion stations. I just, households, I just don't remember. But the wonderful thing to remember is that it's all God's doings. And so God put his hand on us and gave us a direction, gave us and helped us along. And now we're doing a little something more. We're adding more. We got people helping us. We're going to get into radio too, more on radio. And we have already signed up 380 radio stations. And we're going to put the gospel out with all the television, the shortwave radio, and then with the radio stations in the domestic. But the beautiful part of it is shortwave radio. When we look at that, we see that this organization and carrying us and helping us and putting this out, they have 6 transmitters, and they're shortwave transmitters. And in the United States, there's just a handful of shortwave transmitters, and they have about 50,000 watts, 50,000 watts. But this company that we're with here, and they're helping us with their stations, they have in their stations, their transmitters, not 50,000 watts, 60 million watts. And it's in such an important thing that it has to have a sitting president has to agree when to build one of these transmitters. 60 million watts means that it starts in Maine, it goes all over the world, come back over the world, and they're hearing us in Iowa, the state of Iowa. So we just rejoice in that. And when with the shortwave radios, they tell us that 250 million shortwave radios are tuned in any time of the day or night when you get on a shortwave radio that you can count on. There'll be 250 million listeners. And here's the beautiful thing about it. We're preaching to the persecuted church. And in our sermons, we talk about them. They're part of our congregation. Can you think of that? Isn't that an honor? Isn't that a tremendous honor that we can encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ and we can stand with them and, admire them for their stand and how they, and I know personally it sure helped to deepen my commitment to Jesus Christ when I see what they do, and they're part of our congregation. And then also, you know, the heart of a shepherd. There's a film that we've put out, and this film, it was sent out on a free will offering basis. We had a man who refused the gospel, and somebody gave him one of these films, The Heart of a Shepherd, and he watched that and accepted the Lord. On that film, it's all totally given to evangelism. That is, we're giving the way of salvation, And we're using this, telling people what to pray, help them to pray, and then use your own words. I had a man, and he was dying of a brain cancer, and he accepted the Lord. And I don't know if he'd prayed before, but I said, I told him what to pray. And I said, Paul, you just tell the Lord that you're a sinner, and then ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins, and that you'll serve him best you can, then say thanks. And he prayed it with his own prayers. And when he got done, you know what he did? He didn't say amen. He said goodbye. He didn't know you're supposed to say amen. Well, it doesn't matter what you say. You can say howdy do when you talk to him. You say goodbye and praise the Lord. Well, I don't care what you talk. Just from your heart, you talk to Jesus, see? And so we just rejoice. We're like the psalmist who said, some in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we who remember the name of the Lord God. We trusted in the Lord, and he never let us down. He's given us victory after victory. And let me remind you that we are saying all the time, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And so we do thank, we have a board of directors of 10, and we're thankful to God for them who will labor with us. We have a worship team, 13 people, for 13 people. We come and make our services, prepare our services for you. Rain or shine, blizzard up in South Dakota, we get blizzards. And we get first-class blizzards. We get blizzards at Canada. Well, I don't think even Canada gets as bad as we do. And here they are, singing the praises of Jesus. Hotter than them and blazes in the summer, colder than you can imagine, but they're just as faithful as it can be. And then we have an office staff of 8 people, and they're dedicated Christians. Everyone knows and loves the Lord, and again, serving the Lord, and a lot of times serving him, giving extra time in the service of Christ. And we have a prayer team of 67 members. And if you would like to be a part of our prayer team, you're right. We'll tell you how we work it and how you get word to you and how you can pray. So all of it to the glory of God, every plan we have. And we could never have carried on this work had not it been for the Lord Jesus Christ, had it not been for God. And as I say, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. You can get us on the website, ecfa.org. And you can see how our giving is. You can see our constitution. So everything is on the open. Everything there. So we give thanks to God. Hitherto the Lord hath led us. And then secondly, we constantly need God's guidance and help. Hitherto, not just the past. We can't live in the past. We have to live in the future. We have to look forward. And so today, we use the present tense. But right now, we need and we must have his constant presence. And I'm going to tell you something. If God ever takes his hand off us, we won't last 60 days, maybe 90 days. We might have enough to pay. No, we wouldn't, probably 60 days. I don't know. I don't care. They don't let me touch the money, and I don't want to. And when I went to Bible school, and they told us, when you go to that church, don't you get near the money. Don't you touch it. And you have his trusted men and women take care of that. And that's where we do the Christian worship hour. But we know that we have to do 2 things. We decide when we started, we are going to do 2 things. One thing, we're going to preach the Bible. And the second thing, we weren't going to beg for money. And that's all that we do. We just tell the people what the need is. And like James tells us, you have not because you ask not. So we let people know. And then God goes to work and carries it on. And the second thing is, we preach the Bible, all of the Bible, not just part of the Bible. We preach the thou shalt not, and I don't know how about the rest of the world, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't go over very big in America. I am an American. I can live my own life and do as I had a young man going on drugs, deeper and deeper, and I'm trying to talk to him. He says, and I'm telling him, how about his parents? And how he could be and make his life for the Lord. He says, that's my life and I'll do as I want to do. I'm American, I'm free. And free to destroy himself. And sure he did, He's long gone. He's in eternity. And so when we come to the preaching, there I have to say, you shall not do these things. And there are some things, we're temperate in all things, but total abstinence in some things. Sex outside of marriage, for one thing. And so we preach the word. We preach heaven. A lot of people now, you don't hear so much about hell. You hear about heaven, you don't hear about hell. You hear about God love. Oh, he loves so much. Oh, he could never put you in hell. He loves you so much. But they don't preach about the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is revealed against sin. Not you, sin. But if you have sin, it's going to land on you. And then Jesus washes away that blood of the Lamb. He washes away that sin and the wrath of God. We're protected from the wrath of God because we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. How many sermons have you heard on that? On the blood of Christ. Oh, that's old fashioned. That's behind the times. That's out of date. That's not in style. Let me tell you something, my friends. When you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, that's going to be the song, the theme song of heaven. That's what they're going to sing. John had a vision of heaven, and he writes this in Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song saying, and this is their song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us but to God by the blood of thy Son out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. All the redeemed are going to be singing about the blood of Jesus Christ, and we don't preach about it or talk about it or sing about it. How many blood songs about the blood of Christ you have in your hymn book? Take a look once and see. And so this friend, we have to do this. We have to be the redeemed, and it's because of the blood of the Lamb. And so we preach the Bible. And if you like the way we preach, that's fine. And if you don't like the way we preach, that's just fine too. Because we're not here to please men. We're here to please God. And I have found out, after 75 years of preaching and in the ministry, it's easier to please God than it is to please men. It's easier to please God than it is to... People are fickle. They can just brag on you. I had a man, I thought he couldn't say enough about preaching. I was a most wonderful preacher. I couldn't believe. I had to kind of wonder who he's talking about. And the next thing, he's off yonder, forsook, left. Didn't help with anything, gone. So I didn't please him. He got upset about something, the way he went. See, so you just do this. You please God. And that's what God told Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He told him, you're going to preach a message. The people won't like it. And God says, don't be afraid of their faces. See, and that's one nice thing when we preach on television and when we record these things, I don't have any face. It's a face. Again, I can just preach my heart out and just have a good time. And you can just scowl all you want, and I can't even see you. So there. You're just wasting all that scowling for nothing. And so if you want to know what to preach and what to do, you just go to God, because God is in charge. The sovereignty of God. Let God be God. Here's what the psalmist says. The psalmist declares in Psalm 139, Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written. The days were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. And so this is the psalmist. Isaiah talks about the great sovereignty of God, the greatness of God. And he says, Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, What are you doing? And Isaiah says, You're just like the clay, and that potter's going to make something out of you. You see, he has something in his mind. God has something in his mind, and he wants to make you into something. And so he has to push on things. Sometimes it hurts when he formed, and when he pushes the clay, because it's human clay, and it hurts, see? But just if you want to say, take a look at that hand. It's a nail-pierced hand, and it's always in love. Let God be God. He's the potter, and I am the clay. And what he makes of me, praise God, that's just fine. And then Isaiah talks about this, and he says, again now in chapter 46, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there's no one like me, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, just as plain as day. In Daniel, Daniel talks about this great God. He does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand. Oh, say to him, what hast thou, or say to him, what hast thou done? God is God, no question about it. He's on the throne and he's in the throne and he's leading all the way, and hitherto the Lord has helped us because he's there to guide us. And then finally, hitherto suggests that our work isn't done. Our work isn't done. The work is not done until the last soul has had a chance to accept Jesus. No matter where, all over the world, we have to preach so that everyone has a chance to come to the Lord. That soul more valuable than all the world's riches. That soul that cost the Son of God his blood upon the cross. That soul that he rose to the third day to bring back. Those are the people we're trying to get to, so that everybody hears and they can't stand in the judgment and say, God, you didn't tell me, I didn't know. We don't want that on our hands. Ira D. Sankey was a great singer with Moody, and he sang this. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out in the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away in the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. But all through the mountains thunder-riven, and up from the stormy, rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Our work is not done until everybody hears and everybody knows. And so all over the world, we have this preaching of the gospel. And it's not just to the lost, it's also to God's people, where some of them are lonely and some are hard put. So God tells Isaiah, you go to my people. And he says, comfort ye my people. And so we try to cry in every way we can, encouragement to the aged. And then we think of the young people. They're just married and they're in there raising their families and all of the pressures and all they have, and we pray for them. And I pray for the young people all the time. I'm going to tell you, we didn't have half of the temptations these poor dear souls have today. We didn't have to face anything like they face, and yet they have to face what are they going to do with their life and how they're going to carry it on. So we pray for the young people and the children, those precious little children, and especially in the persecuted areas of the world, how they suffer. But there's little children now that parents are fussing around, all kinds of trouble. So half the work isn't done. And so we need you to help us, to pray with us. We need you to just stand by and to tell other people. And if you, and we need you, first of all, to accept Jesus. And you make that prayer, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll forsake them best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And then you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature. And all of you shortwave people, get your pencil and paper. I'm going to give you it in another minute. And then if you want to have this this film, The Heart of a Shepherd, on a free will offering basis, if you don't have any money, you're dead broke and you want it, you write it and we'll send it free. And I'll tell you what will happen. Somebody will send some money and I'll say, here's a little extra to help somebody who doesn't have any money. You don't have a penny. Maybe you're in prison. Maybe you're having a lot of hard times. You write to us. You write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want all our information, we'll have a website, christianworshiphour.com, and you get that and look that up. And you can read all about us. We got our devotions on there, and we have sermons on there. And then you can also, we have even the Way of Salvation is on there. You can get a printout on that. So just pray for us, and we'll pray for you. Hitherto the Lord hath led us, yes, 40 years. 40 years. How many more? Maybe the Lord will come before tomorrow. I don't know. But I know one thing. We're going to go as long as we can go. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for all those who've opened their heart to you. We pray for those who've come back. They've drifted off into sin. They come back to you. Pray for the little children in their own little ways. Ask Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to come into their heart, their little hearts, and carry them through life. And the young people, oh God, how they struggle, the sorrows they have. And the devil afflicts all the people. And so, Lord, just bless your people. And those who don't know you, give them comfort. Help them to come to you. Help them to know, to realize that you love them and you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And will you be careful, Lord, to give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're just going to pray now that we're just praying that you'll have a good week and you have a good time. Pray for the Christian Worship Hour, 40 years. Just think of it. I can't believe it. And how many more? I have no idea. But they're all God's. All the future is God's. And so we give it to him and rejoice in doing it. And you can't go wrong trusting God. He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he'll watch over you. And always remember, God loves you. He died, his son died for you. Remember, too, the Christian Worship Hour loves you and all the team members and all the workers. That's why we're carrying this thing on. And I want you to know I love you. I wish I could just give a better message. I wish I could come across clearer and plainer. But you know what? Holy Spirit will do that. So we'll just give it to the Holy Spirit and you'll know and you'll respond and we'll see you in heaven. And won't that be something? To see each other personally in heaven. God bless you. Love you all.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs, locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.